At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Furniture shopping can be overwhelming. There are so many options, and it's hard to know what's actually worth it. That's why I always turn to reviews to guide my decisions. If something has hundreds of five-star reviews, I'm paying attention. And Bob's Discount Furniture has tons of highly rated pieces that make choosing a whole lot easier. Like their Elm dining set, which has over 700 five-star reviews. It's a gorgeous setup with a real marble table and comfortable Bobapedic seating that instantly upgrades your dining space. And at $9.99, it's a super approachable way to get that high-end look. Or check out Bob's Copper Radiance Queen Extra Firm Mattress. Over 400 five-star reviews and recommended by Consumer Reports. It's designed with a copper-infused cover and high-density Bobapedic foam for support. Plus, it comes with a 20-year warranty. And if you're looking for a sofa upgrade, the Modular Bob Sectional is a customer favorite with over 1,000 five-star reviews. It's got soft, durable upholstery, storage, wireless charging, and starts at just $250 per piece, so you can customize it without overthinking it. For quality furniture and everyday low prices, shop at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This right here is why I love baseball. For an entire week, the New York Yankees could not hit. In their previous seven games, they literally scored seven runs. They hit 156. They had five hits in total with runners in scoring position. But today, on this really odd, it's raining, it's sunny, it's hailing, Thursday afternoon, the Yankees scored seven runs. They scored as many runs today as they scored the previous seven games. They hit 387 as a team. And at least in the moment, if you're a New York Yankee fan, you should feel very good. You almost feel cleansed now that they were able to get off the snide, they were able to get a victory, and they were able to score some runs and get in the win column.
I think you just take a deep breath like, whoo, that is finally over. Yes. Now you hope it's over. They had 12 hits today, and so it feels like even without putting up the massive numbers, even though seven is a big number, they did get back to where they're making solid contact, and some of those guys that you were relying on early in the season, in particular, Trent Grisham, who had a big day today, are back, or at least more closer to what they were at the beginning of the season. The one thing that you should be worried about is still Aaron Judge. Just doesn't feel as dominant as he was earlier. He did have a ripped double that listening to on the radio sounded like Dave Sims was going to say it's a home run. It was just a line drive.
And that was his last at-bat, so at least it's something right. To look forward to going into tomorrow.
Right, but you still are waiting for Aaron Judge to go back to being Aaron Judge that was hitting 400 and a home run every other day.
But you know what? There are going to be moments where Aaron Judge is not a superhero and you need other guys to step up. So while Aaron Judge had a quiet day until that double, seeing Paul Goldschmidt mash lefties, seeing Trent Grisham get off the snide, and seeing the Yankees score runs without relying on home runs. They scored runs on RBI groundouts. We saw two runs that way. We saw an Austin Wells sacrifice fly late in the game. You have to be able to score runs even when your king is not productive. And so I thought that was also a very, very good sign today. The negative was that horrible base running move we saw. If you missed it, because this game was all over the place. As the Yankees were trying to add some more insurance runs in the seventh inning of this game, they had 2 on and 2 out with DJ LeMahieu up at a 3-2 count. And so obviously the runners are going to be going. We all know that. And unfortunately, Austin Wells left too early. And it turned into the Yankees making it out on the base path. So that's a negative, and they got to clean that up. And we all remember what happened last night with Anthony Volpe's horrible error, which could have been an inning-ending double play, and it turned into just, you know, basically the game being over. So you got to cut down on the mistakes. But I thought today was a cleansing. It was like, okay, that's how you score runs again. That's what it feels like to watch my baseball team score 3 runs in the second inning and take a 4-2 lead. That's what it's like to add insurance runs. And so, I don't know. I'd feel much better as a Yankee fan, almost like I took a Band-Aid off.
Right.
And well, it rips, but now it's like, it feels good.
It's a good feeling if you don't really think about it. Meaning,
what does that mean?
So you're not thinking about the last 3 days where you got basically almost swept by the Angels, who aren't necessarily world beaters. So you take this in a vacuum. One game, you hit, you scored a lot of runs, and all right, we're good. We can get ready for the Baltimore Orioles. But if you look at it in the sense of the series, you lost 3 of 4 to the Angels.
Oh, it's awful. I mean,
come on, it's awful.
Yeah.
So just close your eyes, half close your eyes and feel good about this game because the rest of the week wasn't that good.
No, I mean, look, if I sat here a week ago and said, hey, guys, you're going to lose all 3 to the Red Sox and 3 out of 4 to the Angels, you'd have a coronary.
Absolutely.
Obviously, that's not good. But I think in baseball, every day is a new beginning.
Yes.
You know,
especially when you're still, despite a horrendous week, you're still in first place.
Yes. And you got some help today because the Blue Jays are getting beat up. We'll see what Tampa Bay does tonight. So they maintain being a first place team. I'd feel very good today if I'm a Yankee fan. I'd feel better today if I'm a Yankee fan.
That's the thing. We feel better because the bleeding stopped, Evan. But this is a classic put a pin in it week. Mm-hmm. I think this week still exposed a lot of Yankee warts that can't be ignored as we approach July and the trade deadline, everything goes with it. And I would expect that what happened today should continue this coming weekend now as we move this forward to a bad Baltimore Oriole team go take care of business. And there were positives. Jazz got a bunt down today, which Evan had predicted in our quick rain delay theater show. And Carlos Rodon did not implode when he very easily could have at moments today.
That was my proudest moment. So for those that missed it, today was a very strange day because it was raining early in the game, and so they stopped the game for a rain delay, but the rain delay only lasted 8 minutes. So if you were at Yankee Stadium, I would assume you ran back to the corridors. You maybe bought a Mr. Softy ice cream.
I would have got a beer.
You would have gone beer?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have gone Softy. That's just who I am, though.
By the way, why do they have to be mutually exclusive?
No, you're right. You could mix them together.
You could have went both.
That's right.
Yeah, root beer float, get a beer float.
Nice.
The only negative was you went back there thinking you probably had a half hour because there's going to be a rain delay. And then you realize the game restarts in 8 minutes. That's the negative of the rain delay, especially on a day like today at Yankee Stadium where it's incredibly hot. And it's packed. Like, today was a monster crowd at Yankee Stadium. So the rain delay was almost like a welcomed break. Like, okay, give me some time to get the beer, get the ice cream. It's also really hot outside. Maybe it's going to cool things off. And it turns into this odd 8-minute rain delay. So maybe you missed a half an inning because you went online or you tried to go to the bathroom. Then the game obviously restarts. No problem. It's a beautiful day. The sun is out. And then another storm passes by. So they stop the game. I guess it was about 3:30 or so.
Yeah, middle of the eighth?
It was the middle of the eighth inning. The Yankees had 2 on and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth inning. So obviously over here at WFAN, we're like, what do we do? Should we give Emmanuel a break?
Yeah, because he's talking his ass off. he's like, oh, man, what am I going to say?
And double duty because he was in for Susan today and doing the pre-post.
And Dave is just like chilling. He's got his feet up. Just, hey, Emmanuel, this is all you, man. You got the rain delay. Not giving him any assistance. This is just your job.
That's right.
So Emmanuel had to start taking calls.
And he did a great job. And then we're like, all right, let's jump in because I don't know how long this rain delay is going to be. So if you guys missed it, we did a very special, and I'm not even joking, 4.5-minute show because we popped on at 4 o'clock thinking, all right, we're going to get a rain delay. But the Yankee Stadium field staff did such a great job of taking the tarp off, having the field ready that within 5 minutes we get the signal, well, bring it back.
Hold on. The key to that was that they preemptively put the tarp on.
Right, because the lightning was in the neighborhood.
They knew it was coming. They knew a storm was happening. Yeah, I was listening to it, and Dave Sims says, oh, they're bringing out, they're stopping it. It's still sunny out. They're bringing the tarp onto the outfield. And then, I don't know, 2 minutes later, it starts pouring rain.
They knew.
That probably saved them from having to, whatever, wash the field, like get rid of the water off the field. So give them credit for getting the tarp on early, but then also getting it off quickly while the rain delay was almost over.
I need to find out what app they use, because I'd like to download that app.
I'm telling you.
Because they were all over it, man. So we come on and do a four-minute show, and I was so excited because I'm like, man, we're in the middle of a Yankee game. I got some in-game thoughts. And because the Yankees had first and second, nobody out, leading by two in the bottom of the eighth inning, and clearly looking to get some insurance for Devin Williams, Jazz Chisholm is up. And I'm like, you know what? Boone got this wrong two nights ago when he didn't bunt with Jazz. Mm-hmm. He's got to bunt with Jazz. And right. As we're getting the signal, I will send it back to Yankee Stadium. I'm screaming, bunt! Bunt with Jazz! Bunt with Jazz! And I felt so rewarded.
Right. You knew it was kind of going to happen because Jason Dominguez pinch ran for Giancarlo Stanton.
That doesn't mean anything. He didn't bunt with him the day but two nights earlier.
It felt like Boone was trying to be aggressive.
Well, I think Aaron Boone listens to the show. And while he probably disagrees with a lot of the stuff that maybe I say or Sean says or you say, I think Aaron Boone's very open-minded. And I think he heard my reasoning on, hey, why wouldn't you bunt with Jazz in a situation which you're trying to get that lead run to third base? And so in a spot like this with two on and nobody out, let's see if Jazz can lay down a bunt. Because the Yankees are already up by two runs. So the bunt here is, to me, less important than even the bunt two nights ago,
right,
where you're trying to win the game. But let's see if Jazz can get it down. And not only does Jazz get it down, he gets down such a good bunt, he beats it out. And the Yankees have the bases loaded.
Right.
And so I think Boone,
which is, by the way, what I said why Jazz should bunt anyways.
Of course.
He can get a hit.
He could.
Speed. Right.
And the worst case scenario, if he doesn't get a hit, think about what ends up happening next. You score a run on a ground out off the bat of Anthony Volpe. And then you score another run on an Austin Wells sacrifice fly. Now, obviously, if Jazz is out, you can't do it twice. But it does lead to a cheapy run. And that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to add runs. And so, look, there was a bunt last night that actually pissed me off. I'm an equal opportunity bunt and bunty. Like, I didn't like Trent Grisham trying to bunt ahead of Aaron Judge. I thought that was stupid. Because to me, you're taking the bat out of Judge's hands.
Right.
And so Boone took the bunt off after it got to 2-1. And I'm glad he did, because I was screaming at the TV last night, what are we doing? Like, this is not where you bunt.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
So it's not like I'm some kind of bunt, you know,
right? You don't want it all the time. You want it in appropriate situations. This
Absolutely.
Was an appropriate one.
And think about what it led to. It led to the Yankees tacking on some runs,
which were important because as we sat here in the studio, I'll be honest, the trust meter on Devin Williams in a wacky game like today was very low. And those, I think, were very important runs for him.
Now, let's get to Devin Williams, because in the midst of this game, the Yankees beating the Angels by a final score of 7-3 and snapping their losing streak, we got the kind of stunning news that Luke Weaver has recovered miraculously from this hamstring issue to the point where Luke is expected to be activated tomorrow. He's ready to go. Now, a couple of things. First of all, Luke Weaver has magic hamstrings. For him to return, he got hurt May 31st, June 1st, whatever the exact date was.
2.5 weeks ago.
He was supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
That was 3 weeks. I thought maybe they were saying he's going to come back and just be available in case they need him for emergencies, but he's coming back to pitch.
No, he's ready to go. I mean, are you impressed by this hamstring recovery, Teague?
It must have been. Let's hope that Kodai Senga's hamstring injury is the same. not as significant. Well, by the way, I think Kodai's was not significant. I don't remember what I thought about Luke Weaver's when he first did it.
We didn't see it. That's why.
Right. Right.
Remember, that happened warming up in a bullpen. So unlike Kodai, where we saw him injure his hamstring, we actually never saw Luke Weaver injure his hamstring because he was warming up.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, you're going to really hurt your hamstring that bad warming up? You probably just felt some tightness.
And we did know within a day or two, Luke Weaver had already reported he felt nothing after that. So it just, I credit the Yankees because they were extra precautionary.
6 weeks, though? I mean, what did they tell us 6 weeks for? It almost feels like they were saying, Luke, we're going to give you a little respite. Devin, we need you now. And so it brought the best, in theory, out of Devin Williams because now he has to be the closer, right? Reinserted into the role that he was originally brought here to be. And so did it work? I mean, you could say it worked.
I do think that team should follow this. If you're going to lie about injuries or BS us about injuries, go the other way.
Yeah, rely on the long side.
Yes. Like, if you're the Mets right now, tell us, Kodai Senga, we'll hope he'll pitch this year. We're not sure. And then when he comes back in 3 weeks, it's miraculous. So Luke Weaver's on his way back, which is great news. You mentioned Devin Williams has done a wonderful job stepping up in the closer's role. He came into today's game, even though the Yankees made it a non-save situation by scoring the extra runs that they did. And Devin Williams, like he has done basically almost every time, not every single time, but most times, comes in and does a great job. He strikes out the first two guys, hits a batter, and strikes out the third guy. So it was a real dominant inning from Devin Williams. And Boone was asked, so what are you going to do? Like, is Devin still the closer? Is Luke Weaver going to be the closer? And Aaron Boone was very careful to not answer the question and said, we'll see. We're going to play it by year. We're going to play it by the matchups. What do you want him to do?
Yeah.
Do you want to reinsert Luke Weaver as closer? Or do you stick with what was the original plan when this season started, which is Devin Williams being the guy?
I think you probably go back to the original plan. You leave Devin Williams as the closer. But if you need multiple innings, you have Luke Weaver. I mean, let's face it. In May and June, Devin Williams has only given up six runs. And if you go back to that game that he lost, that was against the Padres, San Diego Padres, where he gave up three runs. He's only given up two runs in the last month and a half.
And if you cut it even shorter, since Weaver went down, he's only given up one run, and that was in a game that he saved anyway.
Right, right. And so is he back? Has he cured his, I don't know if it was anxiety or angst or pressure or whatever you want to call it from pitching for the New York Yankees? It feels like he has because he's not just been in low-leverage situations. He's been in high-leverage situations, and he's handled it just fine. So I'd probably go back to Devin Williams, but I don't think you have to define it if you're Aaron Boone. I think you play it situation by situation.
I would also play it situation by situation from the Aaron Boone handle of clubhouse, but ultimately, Luke Weaver's the better closer. I do think that Devin Williams has done nothing to lose this job, but I've seen enough of him, whether it's closing games or whether in those other roles, and seen enough now of Luke Weaver dating back to taking over that closer role in September. Luke Weaver's just wired differently. And I think that there's a certain mental element when it comes to closing games. And there have been times, even during this hot streak, where Devin Williams has gotten out of it. But the moment a runner gets on, you can see it in his face. You can see it the way he paces around the mound. He's a thinker, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Luke Weaver's almost just so chilled to know any better. And to me, I just prefer that mindset as my closer. And he's dominated, too.
Shut up, Tubby.
I don't think they need a closer. Like, I think that the evolution of baseball is that we can sit here and call someone a closer. It shouldn't be a closer.
Right.
And I know that means you're relying on your manager heavily based on matchups, based on if you feel comfortable going to this guy with guys on base, based on who's coming up in the batting order. There's a lot of factors that lead up to this, but I feel this way watching Met games all the time, too. Sometimes I want to use my best reliever in the seventh inning. Sometimes I want to use my best reliever in the eighth inning. Sometimes it is the ninth inning. And I think that Luke Weaver has proven in his time here, since he's been converted to a reliever, because remember, he was a failed starting pitcher, you could throw him into any situation. So I think that's the beauty of Luke Weaver, right, that there are going to be scenarios, maybe it's this weekend against Baltimore, where the biggest moment in a game isn't going to be the ninth inning. Like, you think back, I used the Met game as an example the other night, the game that they blew against Atlanta, game one of that series. One of my questions I have is when you take David Peterson out with two on and nobody out, a three-run lead in the eighth inning with the top of the order coming up, wouldn't we all agree that that's the toughest situation you're going to run into?
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't you go to your best reliever? The Mets' best reliever is Edwin Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
I would have gone to him in the eighth inning of that game. Now, that is not something that normally happens. But I think Boone's in a great spot. Unlike the Mets, where it's Edwin Diaz's job. Right now, because of that gray area of Devin Williams and Luke Weaver, you can go to whoever you think is the best person in that spot.
Great problem to have.
This scenario would have happened last weekend. Remember, we started Monday arguing about the weekend with the Red Sox. How about when they had built that comeback Saturday and went to Ian Hamilton, the bases loaded? Remember, there was the argument, do you bring Devin Williams in?
Right. Correct.
Well, if you have Williams and Weaver, you're definitely bringing one in that spot, and maybe the Yankees win that game if Luke Weaver's healthy. So it is a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have, and it takes this Yankee bullpen to another level. You know, we talked about a week ago about what's your biggest concern. I still have concerns about the Yankee bullpen, but if you could have two horses at the back end, a recovered and healthy Luke Weaver to go along with a mentally recovered Devin Williams, that's a great back end to your bullpen.
Agreed.
So it's a great problem to have, and it's a great surprise that he's really going to come back this quickly.
And yes, the Yankees just optioned JV and Sandridge back down to AAA, opening up the door tomorrow for Luke Weaver.
There you go. So Luke Weaver's on his way back. The Yankees scored 7 runs. Are we feeling better, Yankee fans? Was this win, even though they just faced a 6-game losing streak, 3 against the Red Sox, 3 against a crappy team like the Angels, does this victory, plus the return of Luke Weaver, plus Carlos Rodon winning his 9th game of the year, does this give you that big sense of relief that everything's going to be okay? We'll get to some of your Yankee calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And now, the shift of pressure focuses to the other team in town. Because the Mets and the Yankees were somehow a combined 0-11 since Thursday night. Since Sean and I debated who's better, the Mets or the Yankees, which we were still getting shrapnel from up until this afternoon. Basically, it was still our fault that we jinxed the Mets and the Yankees. Well, the Yankees are off the snide. Can the Mets get off the snide? We'll get into what they need to do tonight against Atlanta. And something Juan Soto said the other day is kind of sticking with me in a negative way. We'll get to that coming up, plus your calls, 888-808-1019. Took care of business on a Thursday afternoon, and now it's the Mets' turn. And it's a damn important game. Because if the Mets lose tonight, it will be a 6-game losing streak of their own. And tomorrow, they got to go to Philadelphia and face Zach Wheeler and throw a bullpen game. So it's kind of important.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. That's why there are certain games that just...
mean more.
They just mean more. Like yesterday, the first thing Sean said to me when he saw me today, because he's a troll, was like, how pissed were you at the Met game last night?
That's not why I was a troll. I wanted to see if we had the same opinion.
Oh, well, my opinion of him was I wasn't even pissed. It was like I was comatose. Chris Sale was dominant. It felt like the Mets offense had no chance. And once Paul Blackburn threw a first pitch gopher ball to Ronald Acuna Jr., and then the Braves tacked on 2 more runs.
And then he, like, two-step between second and third.
Yeah, well, that's him. That's what he does. And then, of course, Luis Torrens, who we're all marveling at yesterday. Oh, he's so much better than Alvarez. He's so much better defensively. He's got to play. He commits the dumbest catcher's balk in baseball when he uses his freaking helmet to pick up a ball.
I've never seen that.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I would have known the rule unless he had done that.
Yeah, well, at first, it was there a balk? Like, what did Paul Blackburn do?
Right. But, well, I guess Torrens didn't know it either.
He knew it, so what Mendy...
Well, why did he do it then?
I'll break it down. Okay. This is the way Mendy described it, and I totally buy it. And tell me if you've ever done this on a football field or just in life.
All right.
He had a complete mental fart in which he went to put the helmet down to pick up the ball, and as he was doing it, was like, what am I doing? And you can see he stopped. So it would be like, you know you're not supposed to do that, and then as you're doing it, you realize, what the hell am I doing?
Right.
Like, one time, this was a weird one. One time, I was walking, I was like in school, and I went to like take my pants down to like readjust.
What?
And I forgot, I was in school and I was in front of a bunch of people. And I quickly stopped. No one even noticed. It turned out not to be a thing.
Oh, my God.
And that would have been suspension, detention, everything else.
Oh, yeah. I would have been expelled.
Right. Better than a balk.
Yes, better than a balk. So, point is, Mets better win tonight. We'll get to them in a few minutes, but let's get to some of your Yankee calls. They did beat the Angels today, a game you heard right here on WFAN. Naomi is calling from New Jersey. What's up, Naomi?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you?
We're fantastic. How are you?
Excellent.
I'm great. I wanted to know if you guys can talk more about Austin Wells and his amazing plays this game today.
Sounds like you got something going on with Austin Wells.
You got a crush on Austin Wells.
Well, I got to tell you, his stash is something else.
Oh, he's studly with his stash.
No, I didn't know where you were going.
Not very many people can pull that off these days.
Yeah, I think Austin Wells has had kind of a disappointing-ish season this year because you figured he would build off of his rookie campaign. But at the end of the day, he's a catcher who has 11 home runs and 44 RBIs, which is not bad. Like, if you were going to go
in, including his first at-bat of the season where he went yard.
That's right. So if you could put together a 25-90 season and you're a catcher, you're doing something right. But the real thing Austin Wells is doing right is being very sexy.
Is he, though?
She sounded like she was really into him.
Yes.
So I don't want to... You know, who am I to say no? You know
is
what I mean?
Is that what's going on with the mustaches on, like, not just ballplayers?
I don't think Trent is doing it for, you know, okay. the feels.
But you see the people out in the streets, Tiki. Mustaches are back. Is that a sexy thing?
I mean, whenever I try to rock it, my wife is like, hell no.
I think it's a person-by-person thing. Like,
yes.
Austin Wells looks good with the stash. Tiki would not look good with the stash. I have no idea how you'd look with the stash. You want to give it a try?
No, not at all.
Why?
Because my dad had a mustache all the time growing up, and it always, I don't know. I didn't want to be a mustache.
If I try it, will you try
what
it?
What if you did Fu Manchu stash?
Ah.
Because that's kind of, that's cool.
Evan, maybe, maybe if another streak develops, we could grow the stashes to break the streak or something like that.
What does that mean? What do you mean another streak? What, the Yankees and Mets lose another 22
yeah,
in a row?
I don't know. Or maybe we grow playoff stashes in October, something like that.
All right, yeah. And then whoever gets eliminated first gets to cut it off first?
Yeah.
So it's almost like, hey, your team got knocked out, but at least you get to get rid of the rat that's growing on you
exactly.
underneath your nose?
October stashes.
Fair enough.
Gave you facial.
David's in the Bronx. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Hey, guys.
Yo.
Just wanted to make sure that people don't start calling up and calling for Aaron Boone's head every time they go through a losing streak. Because it seems like they do that. I think it's a little ridiculous. Everyone's going to go through it. The Yankees and Mets will probably make the wild card, the playoffs. If they don't, then you can talk about the manager, Boone getting fired. But also want to get your thoughts on that. And also, guys, I know, Tiki, do you still play golf?
I do.
And hopefully you can get into it. So, Evan, why don't you end up playing, you know, try to learn how to play golf and challenge the morning guys, because they said they would kill the midday guys. And maybe that's true because Sal's probably not a golfer.
In golf?
But why don't you guys get it together?
I have no interest.
BT's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I mean, they could play golf. I'd go to sleep. Here's the thing.
You could drive the cart.
I would. Driving the cart is a lot of fun. So one thing I like about it.
Even though I prefer walking.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
The most exciting thing about golf is driving the cart. And I don't mean to offend anyone who loves golf, but when I was younger and I was working here, I thought there would be a day in which I would turn into a golfie, and it just never happened. And I was actually having this conversation the other day with a guy who works here who was like, are you ever going to get into golf? And I said, it's dead. There's no shot. And it doesn't mean I'm telling you or anyone in the audience golfing is stupid, because I get it. A lot of people love it. The morning guys love it. Joe B loves it. I respect the hell out of their love for golf. I want to take the time that I have, and I don't have a lot of time. But when I have that time, I'd rather sit on my fat ass at Citi Field or Barclays Center or MetLife Stadium. That's my, hey, get away and do things. It's not hitting a white ball all over the place and then getting frustrated with myself. I don't like it. It's boring as hell to me. It's not something I want to invest my time in. So it is just, it's over. Like 3 years ago, I would have said, ah, you never know. Turning 40, I may get into it. I'm not interested.
Boomer and Gio need more time for golf.
What the hell was that?
I know.
What? What was that? Was that AI?
Is that Aaron Boone?
Boomer and Gio need more time for golf.
Is that?
And they don't get enough golf. And they were like, you know what? What if we did, instead of worked, went and golfed?
Is that Al Dukes?
When they took off the other day.
I got you. Yeah, it just doesn't interest me. Does it interest you?
What? Golfing?
Yeah.
At times. If I'm supposed to be golfing, yes. But I don't, like, dream about, I wish I could play golf at this spot.
No, I got you.
It's just kind of like, hey, you want to play golf? Sure. I got time. I'm going to play golf.
You know what's kind of fun? And this is where I would play somebody.
It's probably why I'm not great at golf.
Well, yeah, it's like anything in life. You got to do a lot. I would play mini golf. Like, that I would be up for. A good 45-minute mini golf session and get the hell out of there. Because I think that's really the thing. I can't spend more than 40 minutes doing it or else I get bored.
Right.
It's just boring. It's the same thing over and over again.
More than 40 minutes. It could take 4 or 5 hours to play 18 holes.
I think that's... So I went golfing years and years ago. I think it was with Sal, and I forget who else. Monzo was there, who used to work here. And I remember, like, it was a good time hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so freaking time-consuming. It's like, where the hell did my day go?
I'm glad you brought that up. And I love that the morning guys love golf, and that's great for them. Their hours are so much more conducive to being able to play golf a bunch. We're here. We don't get home until 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. When are we playing all this golf?
Right. You got to go at 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
Do you like golfing?
I'm like Tiki. I like golf. I don't love golf. If I go out and play, I'm very into it. But also, like, you got to make a call. When it comes to the summer months, I'd rather be on the beach and in the pool than spending 5 hours of my free time on a golf course.
That's really what it comes down to, and I respect that. My free time, if my wife's allowing me to, I just want to go to Citi Field.
Right.
I just want to sit on my fat ass. I want to score the game. I want to yell at the manager. That's it. And I thought maybe I'd grow out of that. I haven't grown out of it. That's all I want to do. And then you're right. When it's really hot outside,
yeah.
I want to like go on the slip and slide.
Exactly. Spring and fall, I'll play golf. Summer, get me on the beach.
The biggest con I've ever pulled off, Teak,
yeah.
is having my kids think the slip and slide is about them. And the truth is, it's just me getting to run around on a slip and slide. It's the most fun thing in the world.
You're not old yet. That's why.
What does that mean?
Because when you're old, that hurts.
So that's the sign that I know I'm old.
Yes.
Once I can't go on the slip and slide.
No, you don't want to voluntarily go down on the ground and hit the ground and slide.
Yeah,
you're just kind of like, yeah, that looks like it's going to hurt.
Cal is calling from Port Washington. What's up, Cal?
What's up? I was just at the game today, and it was a great game. It was good to see them win. But a big issue is I think Anthony Volpe is a bust, and he needs to go before it's too late.
So here's the deal with Anthony Volpe.
He's a bust.
He's a bust in terms of what the expectations were for him.
Yes.
That's where he's a bust. But is he a serviceable major league shortstop? Yeah. Now, here's what's frustrating. I think Anthony Volpe is telling us with his performance that he's never going to be a plus offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is he a little bit better this season? Sure, a little bit. But he's a 230 hitter with a low 7 OPS who hits for a little bit of pop, but he's not a plus offensive player. And I think the expectations for him 3 seasons ago when he was a rookie was he's going to be a star. He's not going to be a star. He's mostly a really good defensive shortstop.
Yes.
Which is why when he makes a miscue like last night, it's so glaring. He's there, in my opinion, at this point in his career, for his defense.
Right.
He's not there because of the stick. So when people have this discourse about Anthony Volpe, is he a bust, is he this, is he that, based on the expectations one had for him, yes, he's a bust.
Right, but.
But he's their best option at shortstop right now.
Right, he's not a bad defensive player, therefore he's going to keep playing. You just hope that he hits better than 250, right? But that's kind of feels like what he's destined to be. Is a 250 hitter. Every now and then, he's going to get you a big hit, though. But he's going to play great defense.
He has become the shortstop version of Brett Gardner for the Yankees. Never going to be consistent enough with the bat, but has the speed that he's a true leadoff hitter, plays really good defense, probably hangs on forever, and is like a guy that every Yankee fan overrates internally when it's all said and done.
Well, I think there may come a time in which you can, whether it's in free agency or the trade market, or maybe it's a prospect, say, hey, this guy's better.
Right.
Right. George Lombard Jr. may be better. Right now in 2025, and I know last night was really frustrating because that was a defensive miscue that, I mean, cost him the game. And again, he's there for his defense where he can be really frustrating. But until there's a better option, whether it's internal or external, he's your shortstop. I think what's frustrating is even though he's still young, and so you hold out hope that he's going to develop, it just kind of feels like he's stuck as the player that he is. A 230, 240 hitter. 15, 20 home runs, a low 7, high 6 OPS, and some really defensive shortstop. And right. That's not what you thought he was going to be 2 years ago you were drooling all over yourself.
So basically, it's a reassessment or a readjustment of what the expectation is. You can't think about what he was going to be when he was all hyped up 3 years ago. You got to readjust to who he is now, because that's all he's going to be.
That's a tough readjustment to make, though.
It is, but what are you going to do?
No, right now.
Go get another shortstop?
I think if there is a shortstop that's better, that's available, we can have that conversation. That doesn't happen right now.
Right.
First of all, shortstops don't grow on trees, number one. And number two, right now, and that can change as years go by, but right now there is no better option. Oswald Peraza is not a better option. So you almost have to live with him and hope that that plus defense continues. Because right. What made last night so bad, yeah, the Yankees weren't hitting. They obviously hit today. But when you're not hitting, you're still allowed to win games. I've made that point before. You can still win games.
Mm-hmm.
That miscue by Anthony Volpe flat out cost him a game. And when a guy is there mostly for his glove, it's unacceptable.
Right.
You know, we've accepted that he's never going to be a superstar offensive player. So the word bust it's an interesting word. It really depends on how you view the player.
Yeah, bust is just unplayable, terrible athlete. That's what I think of when I say bust. Disappointment, maybe. I mean, slower expectation, or lower expectation than you thought that he was going to be at. But I can't say bust right now. He's not a bust. He's just not as good as we all thought he was going to be.
Let's go to Darian in Hamden, Connecticut. What's up, Darian?
Hello. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
So I just have a question. I'm a Yankees fan.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about going to the Mets game on Monday.
Yes.
Would it be cool to wear a Yankees jersey to a Mets game?
No. Why would you do that?
No.
Why?
But I'm still going to root for the Mets, but I'm not wearing any Mets gear.
Why you got to wear a Yankee jersey?
I still want to look like I'm going to a baseball game.
Oh, if you want to act like you're a baseball player. Is that what you're thinking?
No, I want to wear a baseball jersey because I'm going to a baseball game. I just refuse to wear Mets gear.
That's fair. Do you have a t-shirt with a baseball on it? Like just a generic like baseball on your shirt?
I do have a shirt. I could wear that.
Perfect. I just solved your problem because here's the thing, Darian. You sound like a good dude. The minute you walk in a Citi Field wearing a Yankee jersey, you're a jackass. Just like if anyone went to Yankee Stadium today for Yankees Angels and wore a Met jersey, you too are a jackass. Mm. Like, what are you doing other than looking for attention?
Right. Or fight.
Or fight. That's all you're doing.
And why would you go to a beautiful day on baseball looking for a fight?
No, makes no sense.
Makes no sense. Especially now that it's nice and warm and comfortable and a perfect day to have a beverage and sit outside and watch baseball.
You're making me want to have a beverage. Can I defend road jersey wearers who aren't playing? I think it's acceptable in this one case because I see it happen often. If you are touring ballparks and you are a fan of a team and that team's
okay,
not coming.
Okay, but not the Yankees. Not the Yankees. Not a Yankees jersey at a Mets game. That's what he asked.
Yeah, but you're changing this discussion.
Yes.
But if Darian
Think you're right, because this happens all the time all over the country.
Right.
Or when there's international games from the NFL. You see people wearing random jerseys.
But what if Darian has visited every stadium but Citi Field?
Stop it.
Then it's okay.
Yeah, you heard the gentleman call
in. Wait till the Subway Series then.
Fair.
But you also heard his phone call. He's not touring the world. He's going to a Monday night Met game, and he's just simply asking, should I wear a Yankee jersey? And the answer is, if you wear it, you're a jackass. Just like if you wore it. But the only one that you could have worn today where I would have laughed at you is if you wore a Travis d'Arno Met jersey, the Yankees Angels, because d'Arno's on the Angels.
That works.
So the Mets on Monday are playing Atlanta. I guess if there's a former Yankee on the Braves, which right now no one jumps out at me.
What if you wore a Clay Holmes or Juan Soto Yankee jersey to Citi Field?
That's an interesting one. That's a great question.
Actually, you could do that.
Here's the problem.
If you have Clay Holmes, you can do that.
Here's the problem. If you're wearing a Juan Soto Yankee jersey to Citi Field, it's really a Ben Rice jersey.
No. But I'm talking about the ones with the names on the back, and it's not even getting the argument. They sell a million of them.
Yeah, I still think you're a jackass.
Okay.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really?
AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?